Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the AGI Greenpac Limited Q3 FY 2025 conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phones. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Kumar from Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome the management and thank them for this opportunity. We have with us today Rajesh Khosla, President and Chief Executive Officer, Om Prakash Pandey, Chief Financial Officer, and Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO. I shall now hand over the call to the management for the opening remarks. Over to you, gentlemen.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q3 FY 2025 earnings call. We have already uploaded our earnings presentation Q3 FY 2025 on stock exchange and our company website. We are happy to report a strong performance this quarter, demonstrating the effectiveness of our strategic initiatives. This quarter, we achieved a total income of rupees 674 crore. More importantly, our focus on profitability has yielded significant results, with EBITDA increasing 20.3% year-on-year to rupees 185 crore, achieving a 27.4% margin. Profit after tax also saw robust growth, increasing 35% year-on-year to rupees 91 crore. In the first nine months of FY 2025, the company reported a total income of rupees 1,862 crore. EBITDA grew by 15.1% year-on-year to rupees 497 crore, with an EBITDA margin of 26.7%. Profit after tax increased by 20.9% year-on-year to rupees 226 crore. Looking forward, we are confident in our ability to deliver continued strong financial performance. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Khosla.
Thank you, Mr. Pandey. We are happy to report continued growth momentum this quarter, maintaining strong glass container capacity utilization, which is over 95%. The results validate our core strategic priorities: disciplined cost management, optimizing our product portfolio, and cultivating strong and long-term customer relationships. By focusing on these key areas, we are building a more resilient and profitable business. We continue to actively participate in exhibitions across UAE, USA, and Europe, strategically building visibility and forging connections with the potential clients and partners in key markets. Sustainability is a core pillar of our long-term strategy, and we are proud to have received several awards this quarter recognizing our commitment. We are honored with bronze at the 2024 International Green Apple Environmental Awards in the U.K., recognizing our dedication to sustainable packaging. We were also named the fastest decarbonizing packaging product company of the year 2024 at the Suryacon Hyderabad, Telangana, and AP Annual Solar Awards, acknowledging our progress in reducing carbon emissions. Our commitment to sustainability, innovation, community engagement, and brand building is not just about awards. It is about creating a long-term value for our stakeholders and building a stronger, more responsible business. Our holistic strategy underpins our confidence in achieving continued growth and long-term success. Now, we would like to open the call for any questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Zakin Hassar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, the name is Zaki Nasser, so please correct that. And sir, congratulations to the management for a fantastic set of Q3 numbers. As indicated in Q2, where you had said that one furnace will work better in Q3. Sir, would we consider this as the new normal, the 650 crore kind of top line? How do you think the tailwind in the industry will pan out? Because as we read and as declared on the exchanges, another furnace of SNG is shut down. So do you think this will add further to your margins? Thank you, sir.
Okay. Number one, 650 crores, whatever we have achieved in this quarter, is a normalized normal. It is not a normal, but it's a normalized normal. It means that because the prices of the glass are also dependent on lot of inputs material prices like soda ash, sand, and other commodities. So if those prices are taken in account, so it will going to become a normalized normal. Number two, since we are running with the full capacity, which is 95% plus capacity, so probably any furnace which is getting down or coming up, it may not get affect to us much because we are already running full capacities. Third, we are having a long-term association understanding with our customers where we do not exploit our customers with any demand and supply gap. Rather, we are a long-term sustainable and permanent partners with our customers. So our strategy has nothing to do with exploiting the temporary situations.
Sir, and what about any kind of fundraising plans the company has? Are you looking at something or in the near future, sir?
You mean to say organic or inorganic growth?
The question is Rajesh on the fundraising, so I'll take that question. So
yeah.
Basically, if you see, we closed the quarter with a net debt of somewhere around 350 crores, and EBITDA for the 9 months is there. And if we try to analyze, so we are less than half time of the EBITDA on the debt side. Once we acquire with the HNG, which is right now under the court processes, and based on the timing when we acquire and all those things, based on the court orders, we'll start off with the acquisition with the debt, and but however we have an enabling resolution with the shareholders that we can potentially raise equity to deleverage immediately after that. So, but nothing concrete as such, but there is a plan basis which, you know, the resolutions have been proposed to the shareholders.
Thank you, sir, and best wishes to the company and the management. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from Pranay, from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Bowman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. So my first question is on your gross margins. So 71.5% is the highest recorded in a while. Is there any one-off here? And if you could comment on what has driven this margin and how we should expect it to move ahead.
Mr. Sandeep, will you reply on this?
We do our analysis not on the gross margin here. It's more on the EBITDA level. So I think I understand your question, the sustenance of EBITDA. Is the question of the sustenance of EBITDA?
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you. This is the operator. We're not able to hear you. Could you please come closer to the microphone?
There is an echo from somebody's side.
So my question.
We can't hear you properly. Maybe we can take the next question in the queue. Maybe we can test the system with that and then he can come back.
Sure. The next question is from the line of Anil Shah, an insightful investment manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
The echo was from the side of the person who was raising the question.
Yeah. You can hear me? Am I audible?
Yeah, we can hear you well.
Yeah. Okay. So while I understand that, you know, the Hindustan National Safety Glass acquisition is yet, under the Supreme Court judgment, what I really want to know is what's the plan B in it doesn't go through. Can the management share some insights in terms of what is the plan B as far as volume growth in the next couple of years is concerned, and you know, how do we move ahead with, you know, the next 2 years in case the acquisition doesn't go through for some reason?
So if for any reason acquisition doesn't go through, so there is a natural evolutionary process in the companies to grow organically, and but that's plan B. So that's a plan, but not yet approved by the board as such. So it's very difficult for us, any of us, to make a firm commitment, you know, what is plan B or plan C. Any organization do have number of plans in place, but we can talk about the same to the market only once it is approved by the board. But definitely then other way around, you know, the organic growth.
So let me rephrase, okay, the question in the sense, you know, how do we get volumes over the next two and a half years? Because I believe even if the acquisition doesn't happen, we will probably start a new furnace, which itself could take about 2.5 to 3 years, if my understanding is right. In the interim period of 2.5 to 3 years, is there a possibility and a plan B, and that's the reason, in terms of, you know, where we could get some kind of growth more on the volume side? Because again, pricing is depending on the industry and, you know, multiple other factors.
Mr. Sikka, let me reply on this matter.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Number one, yes. Now you are talking, if there is a HNG, then the plan is very different. You are talking of plan B. In plan B, there are two type of growth we are expecting. One is a volume growth, and second is the value growth. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible, sir.
Okay. There is a volume growth and there is a value growth. Volume growth, certainly we have to de-bottleneck few more things by which we will be able to add up some more or de-bottleneck the volume. But there will be a reasonable level of the value growth where we may like to enter into all upcoming segments where we can increase our value of the goods which we are selling. Secondly, in case there is a plan B, probably we will be in a position to open up the facilities or to start the facilities much ahead than you are indicating to us. You are indicating around 3 years, it can be much, much earlier than the 3 years. Okay.
Understood.
Plan B, it is not advisable unless until it is approved by the board. We cannot disclose to the public. But yes, at the right time, we will take approval from the board and open up to the public about our plan B part also.
So just
but obviously,
just yes. Okay. Just from my understanding is right, what you're saying, I understand that, you know, you don't want to obviously disclose your plan B, but what you've just said, just for my understanding and to clarification, that it does not take 2.5 to 3 years, even if we lose the bid or the, you know, we do, for some reason, the acquisition with Hindustan National Safety Glass does not go through, we will still have some volume growth and we will definitely have some value growth as we move forward in the next 2 to 2.5 years. Is that understanding correct?
Strong and mature organizations does not depend only on one plan. They have all alternate plans. So there can be a plan C also in that case. So that is what maximum I can say at this point of time.
Fair enough. Thank you, sir. I have no other further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvita from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question is, if you could give guidance on what is the volume growth we can expect.
I'm sorry to interrupt here, Garvita. Could you please speak loudly? You're not quite audible.
Sir, I'm asking if you could please give guidance on the volume growth and the sales growth. Looking at the peak current utilization level, what is the sales growth we can expect and volume growth? Because currently, this growth which we have is because of the high value which we are attaining.
Mr. Sikka, please reply on this.
So your question is, if I can interpret, I couldn't hear it properly. Your question is, going forward, how much can be the volume growth and how much can be the value growth? Is that the question?
Yes, sir. My question is on the same line, how much could be the sales growth in total and volume growth?
So this
ma'am, there. Sorry.
Rajesh?
Okay, shall I say?
Yes.
Just before you, I have already answered the question because the Hindustan National Glass verdict is with the Supreme Court. So if it all happens, so there will be a big volume growth. In case it is not there, so there is a plan B in which both the volume and the value growth are there. We may not be able to open up the numbers because these numbers are yet for the internal discussion, not approved by our board of directors. So those numbers, once approved with the board, we have to follow the regulation of SEBI, and then only we'll be able to declare it.
Okay, so numbers we cannot give. Thank you, sir. That was all.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, am I audible?
Mr. Shah, if you could speak a little louder, that would be better.
Yeah. Is it fine now?
Yes, much better. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my question is on understanding the cyclicality of the business. We are at the best EBITDA margin levels right now, and there is some sort of demand-supply, you know, scenario playing out and which is helping us the margins and all, along with our own operational efficiencies. Now, going forward, irrespective of the, you know, the acquisition, how do you see the profitability scenario, you know, for our this current business over the next one-year period?
We have been replying these questions for last many, many quarters, and we have been consistently telling that we will be able to maintain a reasonable level of our growth as well as profitability. And if you take in consideration all our last few quarters, we are able to maintain our commitment level. So our commitment level, or I can say indicative levels, remains the same. So whatever it has been happening for last few quarters, we will be able to maintain the same path.
Okay. So if I were to ask you from a product mix perspective, is the richer product mix, which we are doing it right now, which is helping our gross margin improve quarter-on-quarter?
Yes.
Is this
yes.
Product? Yes. So is this product mix sustainable, or is it, I mean, of course, it is driven by your end customer, what your customer is demanding, and your customers must be demanding a better premium category of glass containers, which is giving you this growth. So how much is dependent upon customers' demand versus how much is dependent, driven by your own market share gain and your own, you know, in your own efforts rather than, you know, because it's the customer's premium product which are selling more, that's why the demand is coming, versus you have gained some market share and customer is selling the same volume what it was doing 2 years back. So from that perspective, any thoughts you can share?
Indian economy is already close to $4 trillion. It is strongly moving towards $5 trillion and towards the $6 trillion. So obviously, then the per capita income, which is less than $3,000 as today, will grow to $5,000 in the times to come. So obviously, all this per capita income is going to go into the lifestyle products. And lifestyle products certainly going to attract a premium quality of glass and premium quality of products which are packed in glass. So we hope so that with the Indian demographic curve, as well as the demand cycle in the economy, the things will be progressively moving towards premiumization. And there certainly we are going, being the largest player in the market today, so it is going to be our field to tap all those potential markets. So we expect to grow accordingly.
Got it. So what is the scenario with regards to imports of the similar category of products?
Imports are there. It's not like that imports are not there. Imports are there. And whatever are the imports, these are the low-hanging potential fruits for us in the times to come.
Okay, so to replace the imports?
Yes. So if the import numbers are high, we are more than happy. Because replacing the import numbers is quite easy or quite low-hanging for us.
Okay. So it also means that the cost of production is similar to what the cost of production is there in the exporting country.
Glass is a very geographic sensitive product. So I don't think so. It can much affect whether the material is coming from China or Vietnam or anywhere. The local players always have an edge, and we are going to use this edge all the time.
Okay. Has in the past imports has come and disturbed our market?
No.
Okay. Not in the category where AGI is present?
Yes. No.
Okay. And if I'm correct, then did we mention around a 10% kind of volume growth outlook in one of the previous calls?
Mr. Sikha, can you reply this?
So this guidance was given a few quarters back, depending on certain, you know, internally options for debottlenecking which are available with us. So as an organization, we also keep innovating as we have done. If you see our profitability numbers over the last many years, a lot of innovation has been done internally. Let it be the fuel mix. Let it be our ability to use and produce higher efficiency in the system. So we have options built in, that there are some costs involved with the incremental volumes which can be there. But if required at any time, we can actually use those options and do a volume expansion also.
Okay, so this 10% outlook was given for which year? Was it for the FY25?
No, you can't be so perfect, like, because this is not a projections call. This is a sort of a guidance call which we are giving to you. So
okay. So it was overall from whichever quarter you gave the guidance. Basis the capacity utilization, you must have said that for another 10% is possible.
Yes.
Okay, so it was from a utilization perspective.
Yeah. So it's not that, generally we don't come up to the market and say, you know, next year our volumes will be this and our sales will be this. So we give a guidance in terms of directionality rather than numbers.
Understood. So it holds true as of today also in terms of utilization levels?
As I told you, you know, like, options keep coming through. It's, you know, we are a dynamic organization. So, and we are on a cusp of, you know, although this litigation has taken a lot of time, But rightfully so, we are also waiting on the edge so that the decision comes through and we walk the path. So I think I'll request you to wait for another quarter. I think things will be more clear.
Sure, sir. And so just last question. In the last quarter, we had some litigation-related expenses as a part of other expenses, and that's the reason it was a bit on a higher side. Was it also there for the current quarter?
Yes, we had a very long hearing at Supreme Court. Definitely all those costs are already built in into the P&L, which has been disclosed.
Okay, for the December quarter. Got it. Okay, and so then once that is out, then your actual margin could be a little bit higher than what reported.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ronak Ostwal from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
I think there is a noise in the background chorus call. I think it's done from chorus. I think you have a background noise also. I don't know whether anybody else is also facing the same.
Let me get it checked, sir.
Yeah, please get it checked. So because the voice which is coming is very muffled to me. Rajesh, is it okay with you?
It's okay. No problem.
Maybe it's at my end. Sorry, my apologies for that. So let's continue. You please go ahead with the call.
Yes, sir. So, sir, my first question is regarding XMG court case. Sir, what is the current status of the case? And can we expect the result up to 31st March?
Your question is relating to litigation?
Yes. XMG court case.
HNG proceedings, the matter has already been heard and reserved by honorable judges and honorable bench of the Supreme Court in November 2024. We are awaiting the outcome of the order as an order. And if the proceedings is in our favor, then NCLT can start the proceedings for the hearing the matter for approval of the resolution plan, so which may take another few 1 or 2 months or 3 months depending on how NCLT works. So we are hopeful, we are positive. I think that's since the matter is already subjudiced, that's the max what we can say from the company side.
So up to how much time we can expect the proceeding from Supreme Court?
Very difficult. So as I told you, we are very positive and we are very hopeful, but I cannot make any commitment on the timeline chart.
Okay, sir. My next question is regarding, can you throw some light on volume bifurcation?
Volumes and values over the medium to long term, short to medium term range, we have already taken 3 calls on this today. Maybe I would request a pass on this because already thrice we have answered this.
Sir, bifurcation. Regarding what? Bifurcation on normal glass and specialized glass.
Normal and specialized glass. Yeah, Rajesh, please.
Mr. Sikka, honestly, I think I have not understood. Can you repeat the last question, please, so that I can answer?
The question is what percentage of volumes is specialized glass and what percentage is the commercial glass in the 9 months?
Okay. I can say approximately 10 to 12% is normally the special glass and balance 90 or 88% is around commercial glass.
Okay, sir. Sir, my next question is regarding raw material prices. So what are the fluctuations in prices and how it has impacted us?
Madam, raw material is fluctuating. It's a normal like major soda ash, and there is a MIP also, minimum import price, which has not impacted us any way. And there are challenges. We are taking remedial action. There are more challenges. We are taking more remedial action. So that is how we are able to produce the results, which is in front of you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from mine.
Thank you. Participants are requested to restrict yourselves to two questions. If you have any further questions, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Miraj from CJ Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. Just a couple of questions to start with. So if we look at the industry size purely for the alcobev segment in terms of demand, because obviously capacity, there's a lot of capacity. Some capacities we can't account for. But purely from the standpoint of demand, could you quantify what would it be? Is it 9,000 tons per day or lower than that also?
It has a lot of fragmented market also. Very difficult to point out the number. I think so. The number what you are indicating is reasonably close to what we also expect.
Okay, so for alcohol segment, 9,000 is reasonably close. And if I were to include F&B also, food and beverages, basically everything except for the specialty segment that we do. So what would that figure be close to?
Difficult to say, but maybe hopefully 12,000 tons, something like that, should be total market size.
12,000, but including wellness as well, specialty as well?
Maybe a little bit here and there more. Because, you know, a lot of material is exported, a lot of material that's import also, a lot of segments are also there. So we do not have the exact number as such. But what number you are indicating, it is more or less close to that.
Understood. Okay. Now, the second question, sir, when we say we have improved the product mix is improving, are we alluding to the specialty segment that we have? Is that what we are trying to point to? Or within the normal glass also, we have developed some other products as well?
No. Within the normal glass also, there is a lot of special segments, a lot of value-added segments, and specialty, of course, is always there.
Got it. So when we are seeing that our specialty segment has 154 tons per day capacity, based on this nameplate capacity, sir, what would be our utilization over here? Because we've not reached 90% in the specialty segment, right?
We are not giving furnace-wise details to the market. So we may like to limit to the overall numbers what we have indicated.
Okay, but are we progressing as per our expectations in that segment?
Of course.
Got it. And recently, so there was one verdict that came out from CCI regarding Bhagyanagar gas. There was one petition that we put against Bhagyanagar gas. I believe it was for pricing issue that we had because we were procuring LNG from them. Just want to understand that are we still procuring LNG from them? And if we have moved to another raw material, the power sourcing that we've moved to, is it more expensive or is it cheaper? Just wanted to have a sense on this.
Bhagyanagar Gas is a city gas distribution agency. So our Hyderabad plant belongs to that. As per the norms of the government, we are supposed to buy everything from this Bhagyanagar Gas only. Bhagyanagar can give us a better price for the gas. And since it is in monopolistic situation, we had referred the case to CCI so that they can have a verdict on the same. So this is the way we like to address to reduce our costs on the fuel side.
Okay, but since they are monopolistic, was it the cheapest in terms of availing gas?
If they would have been cheapest, we would not have gone to CCI.
Okay. Understood. Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. I'll get back in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Niharika Jain from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. How has soda ash prices been quarter on quarter and currently? And how has the realizations for us been like quarter on quarter and currently, the glass realizations?
You mean to say glass realization?
Soda ash realization, basically soda ash prices quarter on quarter and current, and glass realizations again quarter on quarter and current.
Start के दोबारा मैंने कितने मिला देगा
मैडम to calculate the glass realization, we have to divide our income by the volume. And in this call, we are not indicating any volume to the market. So I'll be sorry to say that price per ton indication, we are not giving it to the market. Regarding soda ash,
you can provide that would also like it. Is it increased or stable? That will also do even
it's stable. So
okay.
3%, 4% plus minus, I always call it a stable. Okay.
Okay.
Now coming back to soda ash, ma'am, there are three type of cost of the soda ash. That is called CMP, RMP, and ITP. CMP means current market prices. RMP means raw material consumption prices, and in ITP means in transit prices. So what happens is, whatever balance sheet is being given to you, it is on the consumption basis, but the market indications are on CMP. So my numbers of CMP will not be directly translated to the numbers of our balance sheet, but as such, the price of soda ash with respect to last year on CMP basis has come down, and now it is quite stable.
Okay. Okay, that was it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Katordia from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. One quick question. Is my understanding right that we would use the fund to pay the debt?
I can't hear you.
Hello? Hello? I'm audible?
There is a background noise. If you can check, please. It's very difficult to hear.
Hello?
Mr. Katordia, if you could please come closer to the microphone and use your instrument on the handset mode.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, much better.
Yeah, I have one quick question. Is my understanding right that we would use the fund to pay the debt?
Which fund? Which fund is being referred here?
If we do any QIP or...
Yeah, definitely. Because if you see today, we don't have a much debt. And, once the acquisition happens, which is subject to the approvals of the court, we'll have to leverage for the time being to do this acquisition and bring it back. And simultaneously, we can raise equity also. So then we can prune down the debt in the company.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, you mentioned in one of your remarks that we are looking to increase our mix of specialized glasses, going more towards premium product. So can you throw some light, I mean, in next 1 to 2 years, which is currently 10 to 12% kind of a revenue mix, how do you see that, the percentage?
Mr. Sikha, can I understand a little more on this question?
So the question is, I understand there is a noise in the background. So the question, Rajesh, is that right now the premium, in terms of volume, the premium is around 12% to 15% of the volume. So where is the vision of the company in the next 3-4 years, that how much more premium glass we can sell?
Let me answer with this. Let's first your answer on political level. As a company, we have a vision and aspiration to make 100% of our glass as a value-added and premium glass. So this is just a small statement. Okay. Now coming back to the realistic part, specialized glass is a very subjective term. Within our commercial glass, there are a lot of special categories, and we are developing the same more and more. For example, like we are having a colored glass. So colored glass is a special category within the commercial glass. Then there are some more in a premium glasses which are coming on the liquor side, where the bottles are required in the fully decorated stage. So we are also tapping the same. Then there is a retail segment of the market. So within the commercial, there are also some special segments, and we are moving ahead in capturing all those special segments which are helping us to grow our top line and bottom line both simultaneously.
So what sort of percentage we are looking at? I mean, currently which is 10 to 12%, how do we see that panning out? I mean, in next 3 years, can it be 20-25%? Is that something
We have a vision and aspiration both for this number.
Come again?
We have a vision and aspiration for this number.
For this 20-25%.
That's not target. That's what Rajesh is trying to say, that we aspire towards that and we are moving directionally towards that. But the specialized glass doesn't mean only the specialized glass coming from the specialized furnace. Even in the other furnaces, we are doing a lot of specialized glass.
Okay, I got it. I think that would be from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, apologies. I think there is some background noise, which at least I am hearing. So I'm just trying to make the question correct. You know what is being
asked. No problem, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much for the opportunity and congratulations on a successful quarter. Actually, most of my questions have been answered, but I would like to get a little more color on the specialty glass segment, please. We understand that numbers cannot be shared from the from the company supply side, but can you talk a little bit about demands in specific subsectors such as perfumery I believe in the FMCG sector, you would, provide specialty glass to cold press products and the likes. Can you share how much ever is, possible, please?
See, as far as India cosmetic market is concerned, cosmetic is a very generic word, and it includes perfumery and a lot of other products. This market is growing very, very fast. Last estimate, the market was close to 1 lakh crore or something like that. It was there and it is growing. And second, what is happening? There is a lot of shuffling from a traditional where plastic and other products were used. They are entering into the glass segments. Even in the glass segments, new entrants are coming. For example, like there is a serum bottle. Other. If I tell you correctly, the Indian cosmetic market is approximately $15 billion in the year 2024. And it is projected to grow almost to $25 billion by 2033. So almost in 7-8 years, it is expected to almost double. So obviously, when this is going to double, so glass is going to play a very, very important role. And we expect that there is going to be a big growth in this sector.
I understand, sir. That's very helpful. But from the company standpoint, would you be able to share top line share to the cosmetic market on a year-on-year basis, or if that's possible?
We do not declare on a furnace-wise and a segment-wise share and other things. And I may request you you can send your particular request to our company, and we would like to share with you the best possible way of within the norms to you. But publicly, we cannot be able to announce the numbers.
I understand, sir. One more question on, one question on the export share. It was previously articulated that the company would want to, you know, keep the share of export at about 5% of total top line. Is there any further change in that? And, you know, among
no,
those top lines, I believe.
We want to grow the exports a little higher. Our aspiration is around 15% now.
And what kind of, you know, mostly it would be specialty products, right? If I'm...
15% is in total. Specialty will be much, much more, and commercial will be little less.
Understood, sir. Just one last question on the, you know, retail business, which was, you know, put as a subsidiary in October. I've seen the products on Amazon and the basket there. What's the medium to long term plan, you know, in terms of sustainable share in top line as well as channels for?
This is one business which is very close to our heart, and we want to grow significantly our presence in this business. Mr. Sikka, anything more you want to add in retail?
So if you see on the retail side, there have been number of questions which have been asked on the volume value expansion. So this initiative is very rightful from our side, and we are very gung-ho internally. So basically, you made a mention that on an e-commerce portal, you have seen what is the cost of those bottles. And what clue I can give you is that the weight of each bottle is around 350 grams to 400 grams. And there are definitely there are costs involved on the e-commerce, and there are also packaging costs. But once this volume gets built up, there can be a substantial incremental, earnings potential here with a small delta on the volumes change. So while you just try to do an inverse mathematics here, start with the sales realization on the e-commerce portal, and have an estimate of, you know, let's say 30-40%, whatever is the marketing cost on those e-commerce portals, plus the packaging cost, plus the supply chain cost. But you will start seeing a number, you know, which is a very healthy number. But it will take time to build those things, because internally we have been a B2B organization, and this is a B2C initiative, which will give us the headway, you know, towards the value expansion more with a very little bit of volume.
I understand, sir. This has been very helpful. That's it from my side, and good luck for the next quarter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
I think this has been very interactive, very helpful, but a little bit of a noise in the background. You know, maybe if we have missed anything, we can take it next time. But thank you, everybody, for coming to the call and making it such an interactive session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of MK Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.